I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Scripture today is from Joshua chapter 24, 1 through 3a, and then 14 through 18. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. Now therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, or the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did these great signs in our sight. He protected us along the way we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the people, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve his Lord, for he is our God." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Lee. This is one of my favorite passages from the book of Joshua because it talks about a God that we hear Jesus talk about, very much so. These parting words from Joshua to the people of Israel should ring in our ears. Here Joshua in verse 15 says, "Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." Choose. We are asked this question every day, whether we hear it or not. Every day, we are confronted with a choice. Choose who you will serve. Every morning when we wake up, we have the choice of serving God or serving something that we see as a god, whatever it may be. In our world today, there are those things that are the equivalent of a golden calf, a Baal statue, or something else the ancients worshipped before God called Abraham. And this is what Joshua was presenting to the people. What is that object for you? If anything, what in your mind at times replaces God? It is interesting how we will enjoy so many things in life, forgetting who provided that which we enjoy. Whether it be sports, viewed or played, food, theater, the outdoors, whatever we devote ourselves to, none of it would be possible without God, who first created us. That's why we have the word Genesis, the beginnings. Everything began with God. And all too often we go through life and having such a good time, we forget to go back and say thank you that we're able to do this. Had you not created us, created this earth, created everything living, we wouldn't be able to do all these things that we love. In 1860, there was a ministerial student in Evanston, Illinois, who was part of a life-saving squad. A ship had gone aground on the shore of Lake Michigan near Evanston, and Edward Spencer waded again and again into the frigid waters to rescue 17 passengers. In the process, his health was permanently damaged. Some years later, at his funeral, it was noted not one of those 17 ever thanked him. We enjoy the life God has given us, whether for a short time or for many years. Yet most of us, we rarely ever stop and say, thank you, God. Think about it. The creator of all living things, unacknowledged, while those things he created, we enjoy. Joshua puts things in perspective for the people, telling them how God brought Abraham out from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many, then says to them, you choose. Do you want the do-nothing gods of your ancestors or the God who gave you life and hope for a new beginning? That's what our God does. Gives us hope for new beginnings. Over 2,000 years ago, a young Greek artist named Timanthes studied under a respected tutor, and after several years of the tutoring, his efforts paid off when Timanthes painted an exquisite work of art. Unfortunately, Timanthes became so enthralled in his own work that all he did is come in the morning and stare at his work all day. One morning when he arrived to admire his work, he was shocked to find it was blotted out with paint. Angry, Timanthes ran to his teacher, who admitted he had destroyed the painting. I did it for your own good. That painting was retarding your progress. Start again and see if you can do better. Timanthes took his teacher's advice and produced the Sacrifice of Iphigenia, which is regarded as one of the finest paintings of antiquity. But had there not been that new beginning, had it not been pointed out, you need to try and do better, go beyond this one work, that never would have happened. And all too often, we love what God has done for us, and we say, oh, I just love my church, and I love my town, and everything's just great. I can go home and watch TV, have a great life. We forget about God, who provided all of that. When Joshua gathered the people of Israel, he did exactly what God does every day for us. He gave them a choice, and we have that choice. And explained, in giving that choice, you can tear down the old ways and start over, or you can go back to the old ways and never experience a better life. How many of us choose to go back to the old ways? Well, you remember what it was like back in the 60s or back in the 70s, back in the 80s. Boy, those were the good old days. And they never progress beyond that. God says, I got you a world here that's growing every day, changing every day, and I'm inviting you to change with it, to stretch yourself and do better. And do better. An old Persian legend once pictured four angels watching God create the world. The first one said, why did God make it? The second said, how did God make it? The third one said, can I have it? And the fourth said, may I help to make it better? The first question is a philosophical attitude. Why? Being a philosophy major, I know we always ask the why of things. The second question is a scientific attitude. How? How does this work? How do we go forward? The third question, of course, is a selfish attitude. Can I have it? But the fourth question is a true follower of Christ attitude. May I help to make it better? May I help to make it better? Jesus left his teachings for us and then works in our lives every day through the Holy Spirit saying, make it better. Make it better. But we've got to decide, make that choice to make things better. Joshua says, now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods of your ancestors, serve beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If that's your decision, then do it in sincerity and in faithfulness. Which means, help make the world a better place. And in so doing, you will make yourselves a better people. Starting something new is almost always scary. Looking at things from a new perspective can be scary. Responding to perceived threats in a new way may certainly be scary. But to do things in a new way is not only what Joshua and the people of Israel were called to do, but each and every one of us through Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. Israel, generally speaking, failed so many times to change. Look at the Old Testament. How many opportunities did God give them? And they failed to change. Even when Moses led them out of Egypt, they still felt the need to make a golden calf. When Joshua took them into the land of milk and honey, they again failed to change from the old ways and went back to worshiping the old God. In what way do we fail as Christians? In what way do we fall back to old ways of doing things? You've heard me say this before, and I hear it all the time in the 40 years I've been serving in churches. Well, that's not the way we did it in this church back in the 50s. You're not back in the 50s. And guess what? A lot of those churches have shut their doors. Because God is a God of newness, not a God of the old. If He was a God of the old, He never would have sent Jesus. He wanted something new. So He sends His Son to say, wake up. Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, all of you who like the old days, get over it. I've sent you something new. And folks, you know what they did? They killed Him. And we, in our own way, kill that spirit of newness when we refuse to change and move forward. And yes, even with Solomon's wisdom, the people of Israel returned to the old ways. That is why we have four major prophets and 12 minor prophets in the Old Testament saying, wake up, you messed up. You're still not getting it. How they refused God's offer to change, to become better, more fruitful people is beyond me. How they just couldn't tear themselves away from old habits and old ways of worshiping. Yet we read testimony after testimony in the Old Testament of how the people glorified God. Thank you, God. Thanks for the land of milk and honey. But now we're going to go back to our old ways. It's beyond thanks. Once you do the thanks, then you change. It's not enough just to say thank you and go back to the old stuff. You got to go with the change. How they thank God for leaders like David and Solomon, how they lifted God up in praise for delivering them from their enemies time and time again. And what do you think? They didn't change. What's your opinion? Did they just forget all God did for them? Is that what it was? You know, we're in the land of milk and honey. We got our lives to live, and we just kind of forget all the past. What causes people to lift someone in praise one minute and ignore them the next? Why do people call on God when they're in trouble and forget God when things are going well? How does that work? Conditional gratitude? In the moment appreciation? Or obligatory gratitude? What is it? This is what I heard in the grocery store. Thanksgiving is this month, so we've got to be thankful for what we've got. That's what I heard a woman tell her young daughter at the grocery store while waiting to pay for a cart full of groceries. I'm not sure what triggered the woman's remark. Perhaps the little girl had been begging for a special treat. You know how they strategically place these things so you do an impulse buy? I don't know. But whatever caused it, that's what the mother had said. Perhaps the little girl had been begging. Who knows? But the woman's statement triggered some of my own thoughts about gratitude. specifically the idea we should feel thankful on Thanksgiving because a federal holiday has been set aside for that purpose. Is that when we give thanks? Well, hold on, I don't have to thank anybody. It's not Thanksgiving yet. I smiled at the woman when she noticed me waiting in line behind her because her glance occurred at the precise moment all of this occurred to me. The young mother's admonition to her daughter seemed appropriate at the time, so I doubt if either of them understood the absurdity of the statement. If we are required to be thankful for whatever reason, that makes gratitude feel forced and obligatory. If I tell you I'm not going to do any prayers of thanks to God until we get to Thanksgiving, and you know there's so much to be thankful for, where does that put thankfulness? And if that's the case, do we feel authentic gratitude, or is the thankfulness just a matter of posing? If we're just waiting for the right time, well, we're here. Moses led us out. We're in the desert. Thank you, God, for getting us out of Egypt. Now, here's a list of complaints about being in the desert. Did the Israelites ever feel authentic gratitude all the times they thanked God for His love and guidance? Or did they just feel obliged because their leaders told them to? Is that the case with us? Do we thank God when we are told to? Or do we thank God every day for the blessings that we have? Whether it's people in our lives that have passed, thank God we had them, that we had the opportunity to love them and be with them. When Jesus took the bread and broke it, He gave thanks. When He took the cup and offered it to His disciples, He gave thanks. And when He prayed, He gave thanks. Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants." He wasn't required to give thanks. No one said, "Hey, Jesus, you hadn't given thanks in a while." He gave thanks out of a grateful heart, as should we. Give thanks out of a grateful heart. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us. We should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along the way among all the peoples through whom we passed." Far be it from us. Read all the books after that. It wasn't that far from them. They went back to the old ways. There's a whole history. I say to you today, far be it from us that we should feel obligated to choose God as our God. Far be it from us that we should feel obligated to thank our God. And far be it from us that we should feel obligated by government or civil law to show our thankfulness to God. Our thanksgiving should be heartfelt and come from a place of gratitude. Always. Always. Not because we're told to. Not because somebody set a day aside and said, "Here, this is the day you can give thanks." We need to give thanks because God is God. And God has put us on this earth and provided for us. And has provided those who have passed through our lives that we have the opportunity to love them, to be with them. Has provided us with a community. We come into the church and what do? We look around and we see the people we love to worship with, that we love to be around. And so we thank God. There's no waiting. It's what we do. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks for all of the things in our lives that we enjoy. For we know you are the Creator. All things began with you, and all things will end with you. Be with us. Fill us with your Spirit. We ask that you continue to be with us and to show us the way to newness and how to be thankful for all that you have given us. For we ask this in your Son's name, the Son of forgiveness and the Son of newness. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.